Shalom Aleichem, everybody, as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Pikudei. I'd like to share with you three thoughts, one on the beginning of the Parsha, one on the middle, and one on the end. Regarding the beginning of the Parsha, I'd like to address a question that I asked in a previous year. We know, Rashi tells us, that Bezalel corrected Moshe, so to speak, in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed that the Mishkan be built kelim first, building second. And Bezalel made the logical argument that if I build the kelim first and the building second, lahechan achnesenu, where will I place all of the kelim? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, ach, Bezalel kel hayisa, you knew, you're right, and build the building first, the kelim second, that's the way God instructed. This is Rashi in the very beginning of the parasha. Last year, perhaps 2 years ago, I asked a question, and it's a difficult question, that actually the building of the Mishkan was completed in the last week of Kislev. That is, Bezalel finished his work. All the work that had to be done was done by the last work of the week of Kislev. However, as we read in this week's parasha, the Mishkan was not put up, was not actually constructed into a building until the last week of Adar, of Gimel Adar, 3 months later. So that, for 3 months, the building stood, that is, it didn't stand. The building remained in pieces, in boards. It was not put together as a building. The logical argument of Bezalel, why would I make the kelim, where can I put them, was not resolved by him constructing the parts that were the building first, because that building was not put up. It's really a davar pella, and hard to understand. One could say Bezalel presented his argument based on his erroneous thought that the building would be put up first. But that doesn't explain why Moshe Rabbeinu told him he's right. He wasn't right. I'd like to suggest a maybe, a possible answer. And this answer is based on the aside, really, B'chala Torah Kula, that all mitzvahs of the Torah have to be done in a normal Seder. Well, Averis are only Averis when they're done in a normal order. That is, let's say on Shabbos, someone does Malacha with a Shinoi, he does it in an abnormal way, then he is not Aver Min HaTorah on an Averis. The same thing with Kiyum Mitzvah. Someone eats Matzah, which is a Mitzvah, Shaleika Derech Achila, in an abnormal way, then he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. But that is, all Mitzvahs HaTorah have to be done in the normal way. If a lulav is held upside down, you're not yaitza, etc. The same may be true about the constructing of the Mishkan. Although the Mishkan was not put together until later, it had to be built in the normal order of builders. Normally you would build the building first, and then the things that go inside. Someone is putting up a building, building a home, doesn't buy his furniture until the home is complete. So therefore, it may be that Bezalel was right, not because of the practical question of Lahechan Achnasena, but because that's the normal way to build Lahechan Achnasena. I'm suggesting this as a possible teretz, Nechaymer HaKushya, because the question is really quite a difficult one. Let's move on to a second topic. The second topic I'm calling the middle of the parsha. It's really not in one particular section of the parsha, but we find throughout the parsha the expression for the workers, harash v'chayshev. Professionals, harash is usually understood to be a carpenter or someone who is a stonemason. Someone who cuts wood, cuts stones, is called harash. There's an interesting piece in the Sefer HaKasada HaKabbalah. He, in general, likes to deal with the constructive words. And here, too, he deals with the word harash. Harash for a carpenter. He asks that harash, a choresh, is someone who plows. What in the world does plowing have to do with being a carpenter? And how does that word come to be related to the idea of somebody who is a professional with his hands? And he has an extraordinary insight, a wonderful insight. This is Neksaba HaKabbalah, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed Hei. And he says the following. He says, what is plowing? A person is planning to plant a seed so that he will have either a tree or other produce that will grow. Before he plants a seed, he has to think into what he's doing. He has to make sure that it's done right. He doesn't just field, stick the seed in the ground, and hope it grows. He thinks it through, he makes has the proper preparation. Harisha is actually a well-thought-out plan, which a person does in order to have a successful harvest. So that the idea of harash, of harisha, has to do with thinking things through and planning things from the very beginning. He writes in Yiddish, Avayza plena machit, making wise plans. That's the idea of harash. As a matter of fact, harash is also used for someone who is silent. Hachareish tachrishi la'is hazais. Someone who is quiet, someone who is quiet thinking something through. That is the idea of a harash. A professional, too, has to be a harash in order to be successful. He has to plan things well. Somebody who's gifted and knows how to paint, or is gifted and knows how to construct things, will not be successful unless he knows how to plan things out, how to make plans, and know how to make things in a way that is pleasing to the eye, or that is very useful. Occasionally we find immigrant workers who are very talented. They're not making much money, they're getting paid the minimum wage perhaps, and working for someone else who knows what to do, who knows how to do architecture, somebody who knows how to do the planning. And then he gets this person to do the work for him. The talent is not adequate. You have to be a harash, someone who thinks. Chayshev, which is the language also for a professional, similarly comes from the word machshava. The difference being, as he explains, that chayshev is someone who puts things together, lashon cheshbon, he takes together numbers. He takes together threads and makes an item of clothing. Or he takes paint and paints a building. That's a chayshev. A chareish is someone who changes things. Someone who takes wood and cuts it down, uses nails and screws to create something, or similarly with stone, or similarly with the earth. He makes the earth ready for planting. So harash is someone who thinks well and plans well. Harash, he is a carpenter. He is a stonemason. He's someone who knows how to do things. That lesson is, of course, a very important lesson for Klal Yisrael. The idea of a frum yid needing to think things through, not just running to things. Rav Pam used to say, what's the difference between the word zrizos, someone who has the wonderful attribute of doing things quickly, and bahala, someone who has a terrible attribute of doing things quickly? The difference is zrizos b'maisa, bahala b'machshava. Someone who rushes his thinking is doing things wrong. You have to think things through well. Someone who thinks things through properly and then is quick in executing his plan, that is a zaris. This beautiful vart of the Ksav HaKabbalah fits well with another vart that he says. He has a kasha parshas Vayakel. There it says Esrim Karashim, 20 boards. In parshas Truma it says Esrim Karesh, 20 boards. There he uses the word Karesh, the singular, for 20. We find that many times. Arboim Shana, not Arboim Shanim. Yet, in Vayakel we find Esrim Karashim. What is the difference? So the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah, in a separate piece, explains that when you're talking about many of one item as being one guf, as being one unit, you use the singular. The Jews were in the Midbar Arboim Shana, one unit of 40 years. So the word Shana, the singular, is used because it's one unit of many. We're talking about many different items, then we talk about the word in the plural sense. Esrim Koresh is in Parshas Truma. In Parshas Truma, they were planning the construction of the Mishkan. In the mind of the planner, he has to be able to picture the completed item, how the Esrim Koresh will look, and then he knows how to make each one. In Parshas Vayakel, it talks about actually constructing it. When you make it, you have to make it one at a time. Esrim Kiroshim. So that the lesson, again, is a beautiful lesson. When you make it, it's Esrim Koreshim, you're doing them one at a time. When you plan it, Esrim Koresh. You have to pick the picture of the 20 as one unit. The beautiful combination of Erev Lechem HaKsav HaKabbalah. Turning to the end of Parshas Pekudei, we find in the very last pasuk, the end of Sefer Shemais, the climax of the building of the Mishkan, Ki Anan Hashem ala Mishkan Yaimam, the Eshtia Laila Bai, Lainei Kobes Yisrael, the Homaseim. The Anan comes and is on the Mishkan, Lainei Kobes Yisrael. The Gra in Haderes Elio, this is quoted as well in the last Taksaba HaKabbalah in the Parsha, explains something that we don't normally think of, and let me explain. He says that the Anan, which surrounded Klal Yisrael even before Kriyas Yamsuf, that Anan was not visible to the ordinary person. The ordinary person couldn't see it. Perhaps the Gedalia Moshe Rabbeinu certainly could see it, but the ordinary person could not see the Aron under normal circumstances. Moshe Rabbeinu was mistalo, a specific tefillah, that Klal Yisrael should be zeicha to see the Anan that resided on the Mishkan. Where do we find that? We find after the sin of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tzayin, U'bamei Yivada Eifoiki Mitzasi Chein Beinecha Ani Vamecha Haloi Melechtecha Imanu. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, how will we know that we found chen in your eyes if you go with us, if the Shechina accompanies us? V'neflino Ani Vamcha Mechala Amash Alpnei Ha'adama. And I and Klal Yisrael will be the most unique among all of the nations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accompany us. Now what does Hashem answer? Hinei Anechi Kairis Bris Neged Kol Amcha Esa Neflai Zashin Oli Nivu B'chol Ha'aretz V'chol Ha'gayim. I'll do something that was never done before. V'ra Kol Ha'am Asher Atah B'kir B'yas Masi Hashem Kinei Ruhu Asher Ani Yosei Bach. The people will see V'ra Kol Ha'am Asher Atah B'kir B'yas Masi Hashem. The promise there, the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, was that Klal Yisrael should see the Anan. At the end of Parshas Pekudei, Ke'anani Hashem al-Mishkan Yayim al-Veshti Yavai Labai, La'enei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maseyan. Here, the whole Klal Yisrael was able to see the Anan. And that is the special bracha with which the Sefer ends. With this, he explains the Pasuk as well in Parshas Shlach. Ki Ata Hashem Bekerav Ha'am Hazeh, Asher Ayin Ba'ayin Nira Ata Hashem, Ba'nancha Oimer Aleyim. That they see ayin ba'ayin, they see with their eyes that you are Hashem among them. Anan cha'i mer aleihem ubamunei anan atahilach ufneim yaimam ubamunei shloimam. So this is the gross chidush, that this was a special gift here, that they were able to see the Shechina. There are two things that we gain with this understanding. The Aksada Kabbalah explains that when we say in davening, when we take out the Sefer Torah, we paraphrase Sefer Yishayahu, we say, Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru, v'shuv Hashem tziyayin. We double when Mashiach comes, ayin ba'ayin yiru, we should see the Shechina again. One more point. The way we normally understand, there was an Anan around Klal Yisrael right before Kriyas Yamsuf. It's hard to understand why the people panicked. They were surrounded, they could see an Anan around them, an Anan Eish at night, and an Anan, a cloud at day. Why would they panic? Furthermore, how did they even see the Mitzrim chasing them? If they were surrounded by the Anan, they should not even have seen it. However, according to the Gra, it's good, because in fact, the Anan was not visible. The special gift with which Sefer Shemais ends is the gift of La'enei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maaseihem. So these are three thoughts on the parasha: the thought regarding the Bitzalel and the order in which the Mishkan was constructed, the thought regarding Charash v'Chayshei, and the connecting thought regarding Esrei Koresh, and this last thought of the Gra. Let me end with a difficulty. Someone actually asked me last week in Parshas Vayakel, I don't know an answer. And the question is the following. We had two limudim, two times that we were taught that a special pasuk teaches us that the building of the Mishkan is not Daicha Shabbos. And that is from the Smichus of Shabbos and the Mishkan. The question that was asked is, why do we need a pasuk for that? Why would I think the building of the Mishkan is Daicha Shabbos? It's Asay. Shabbos is an Asay, V'Lais Asay. An Asay is not Daicha, an Asay is V'Lais Asay. And certainly, which is an Asay Sheyesh by Karis, why do we need a special pasuk? This is an extremely difficult issue. I was attempting to answer, well, that since we see karbanis in the Mishkan, Adaycha Shabbos, so perhaps that's why I would have thought the building is karbanos that are Decha Shabbos are only karbanos hayayim. Only the karbanos that have to be done on Shabbos. Other karbanos are not Decha Shabbos. The building of the Mishkan, which didn't have to be done on Shabbos, after all, it was ready 3 months early. Why do I need a pasuk that is not Decha Shabbos? Sarach Yigadol gives you something to think about. Be well.